you know, I would have said in the past, PA DSS was built on top of a network security standard, which had some inherent problems because you're trying to look at an application from a network perspective. And so this clears all that up. It refocuses, like I said at the beginning, on the way that application security is done differently today than it has been in the past. And it allows for the development process to be looked at as well.
Welcome to the Reimagining Cyber Podcast, where we share short and to the point perspectives on the cyber landscape. It's all about engaging yet casual conversations on what organizations are doing to reimagine their cyber programs while ensuring their business objectives are top priority. With my co-host, Stan Wisseman, Head of Security Strategist, I'm Rob Borrego, Chief Security Strategist, and this is Reimagining Cyber.
So Stan, who do we have joining us for this episode?
Rob, our guest today is Dan Fritchie. Dan is currently the CISO at RSI Security and has security and compliance expertise that spans over 20 years. His experience is across multiple industries, but today we're leveraging his experience in the payment security area to talk to him about that. Dan has assessed and influenced standards and compliance regulations, including, again, one of the key ones we're going to talk about today, the Payment Cards Industry Data Security Standard, also known as PCI DSS, HIPAA, GDPR, NIST, and others he's influenced. Dan, it's great to have you on the podcast. Is there anything else you'd like to add about your background with our list for our listeners?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. I think probably what's most relevant is my application security background. And specifically in around 2008, I started doing PCI stuff in the PA DSS program. So have been actively involved in that in various ways over the years with PCI and into this new SSF software security framework that we're going to be talking about.
All right. Well, speaking of which, you know, the PCI Security Standards Council implemented some changes. And then back in October 2022, the PCI Secure Software Framework, and we're going to throw another acronym at our listeners, the SSF. And we'll be, you know, using that freely throughout this episode. Yeah, but it went into an effect back in October. So what exactly is the PCI SSF and how does it work?
Yeah, well, basically, it's PCI's new framework, and they kind of designed it specifically to address the need for kind of a more modern approach to secure development and how applications are used for payments and, you know, how that impacts credit card usage. So they broke the new standard into two different sections. The first one is focused actually on the development of the software, which was kind of embedded in the standard previously, and the other component is more akin to the old PA DSS, which is the secure software standard, and that's focused specifically on the application. And then they both have what they call objectives, which, you know, previously we called standards. It's basically a similar thing, and, you know, they also have a process for validation of those objectives, and then they also have, like PA DSS, the ability to be listed on the SSC website, the PCI website, once the validation is complete.
And you said PA DSS. What does PA stand for?
That stands for Payment Application Data Security Standard.
Okay.
Does that mean that the PCI SSF is going to be replacing the Payment Application Data Security Standard?
Exactly. So the PA DSS program officially closed, I think Stan mentioned it earlier, October. That was October of 22. And then the SSF program got started. It was actually published in 2019. And was available starting in 2020, but really, you know, it's just now starting to be commonplace. So it does replace it, but it's got a lot of differences, which is what we're here to talk about.
So is the SSF, again, looking at the scope of what this applies to, is it for all payment software being developed? And is it now part of the PCI DSS for companies that are internally developing their own payment software?
Yeah, those are great questions. And there's a lot to answer that. So to start, the Software Security Framework, SSF, applies to anything that PADS applied to before. That's the easy one. So whatever had PADSS needs to have SSF again, right? As time has progressed, PCI has been releasing what are called modules. So they're specific types of software. So there's a core module that applies to anything that goes through SSF. And then there's the first module called Module A that is about account data protection. So that one kind of applies to pretty much everything. And then eventually they came out with Module B, which is specific for terminals. So like hardware devices, POI, point of interaction devices that need to meet the standard. And then the third module that they added more recently is the web software. So anything that uses internet technologies, those kinds of protocols, those kinds of languages to initiate electronic payments in general. To get back to your other question, PCI DSS specifically, if someone develops their own application in-house, we would call that a bespoke piece of software. So in the past under PADSS, it was never even eligible to be reviewed under PADSS. However, the new standard allows for it to be reviewed under that as optional. The only difference is that is one of the few that still at this point doesn't qualify to be listed. So it can still go through the process. It just doesn't get submitted to PCI officially. But the good news is that's valuable because then the organization has the ability to say, hey, we've done this, we meet this.
Why do it if you can't be listed?
Yeah, it also simplifies their DSS, right? So in theory, under PADSS, when there was no SSF program, it would get reviewed under their PCI DSS, which meant, generally speaking, that only a QSA that probably didn't have an application background would look at it to see if it met some basic requirements. It never had the full validation.
And just pausing, because again, this is a very heavy acronym episode. Can you explain what a QSA is?
Yeah, QSA is a qualified security assessor, mostly to do the PCI DSS, which is basically the network standard. Okay. So their network, that's a certification you get through PCI to be able to do a PCI DSS assessment.
And you were previously a QSA as well, right?
Right. I was a QSA and then a PAQSA. And so the PAQSA validation, you know, that title or certification was for specifically applications. So now They've separated that, which is really interesting because before you had to be a QSA in order to be a PAQSA, which was network to application, right? Mm-hmm. Well, now you don't have to be a QSA. They have they've separated the program. It's actually more difficult than it used to be for other reasons, but it's not as closely intertwined.
So they're getting more granular is what I'm hearing in essence, Dan.
In that sense, and they're getting more specific, right? So, you know, I would have said in the past, PADSS was built on top of a network security standard, which had some inherent problems because you're trying to look at an application from a network perspective. And so This clears all that up. It refocuses, like I said at the beginning, on the way that application security is done differently today than it has been in the past. And it allows for the development process to be looked at as well. So to your point, segmented and focused on better.
So for merchants, as an example, does the credit card payment software, you know, that they would purchase have to be validated under the PCI security software standard or SSS in this case?
Yeah, the software security framework, either the software security standard specifically for an application. So technically, That question has always been up to the card brand. So that's Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover, and even JCB, and actually recently China UnionPay as well. So in the past, they some of them would post that if you're going to use an application, it has to be listed under PADSS. So at some point, several of them, not all of them, said that you have to either do PADS or SSF. And so now that implies SSF only because PADSS, and some of them are working on maybe still making that official, but their previous requirements applied. So any new applications under that are getting developed have to meet PCI SSF. The previous ones under PADSS eventually have to get revalidated. You can still use them as long as they can still support the PCI DSS standard. But with the new 4.0 standard for PCI DSS, that's going to become more and more difficult over time to be able to leverage a PADSS. They will need to move to an application that's validated under the new SSF standard.
So Dan, when you were describing the PCI SSS earlier, you mentioned it was divided into the core as well as other modules like the account data protection module. Are all the modules out, or are they expecting to have new ones roll out as well?
Yeah, there's likely to be more. You know, if I had a crystal ball, I could probably retire if I knew all the ones and could capitalize on that, right? But
sure.
There will be some more. Some of the things, good examples of what didn't used to exist is now you can actually validate SDKs and APIs. So those are software development kits. Those are basically kind of an underlying component for an application that other people can then develop around. Mm-hmm. That didn't used to be allowed And now you can do that. So there's a lot of new things out there that never qualified under PA-BSS.
I guess if my company is one that's developing these different applications, right, in support of the payment card industry in general, is this in essence putting that firm requirement in place now that my solutions as I go to market have to be validated for them to be actually used? Because this kind of this is you were talking about, right? We're painting this kind of broad stroke that here's what we're recommending. And ultimately, it sounds like it's going to become a requirement. Like, where are we at that point?
Yeah, I mean, basically, it comes down to the definitions that PCI has created for payment applications. So payment software, specifically software that stores, processes, or transmits payment data. Payment data, then to define that, is data that's created or captured or exchanged specifically for the purpose of conducting electronic payment transactions. And that definition is a little bit different than it used to be under PA-BSS. So what I just stated is kind of the new way of doing that versus the old way. So it's required, again, that goes back to the brands. They're the ones that ultimately require whether or not that's they have to do it. But if it fits this definition, they're pretty much are going to need to meet it at some point.
And do you have any kind of, I mean, again, this came out in October. Are the brands starting to put out requirements that you've heard that are on the streets as far as what they're doing?
Yeah, I mean, some of them I think have, and previously I think they added SSF to the PA-BSS, so that one is the one that applies. The one that I haven't seen yet, and I need to go look again, but the development one, we haven't talked a lot about that. We've been focused on the application security, the software security standard itself. The other half of that is what's called secure SLC or software lifecycle. So that's for the developers who are doing it. And so that one has still always been optional. I'm kind of waiting for that to become mandatory. So again, I would not be surprised if at some point that becomes a requirement. In fact, another interesting thing that I recently learned talking directly to PCI, some of the other standards that exist are going to point to it. And so some of the other standards, like there's one that's for mobile. I won't give you that acronym because we've had too many already tonight, but that mobile standard is going to point to software security framework potentially. So there's more than one way that this could end up applying to software developers if they're attached in any way to payments for credit cards.
One of the things that was in the PCI SSF that I didn't recognize as far as a way in which they characterize requirements was object-based approach to requirements. So what does that mean?
Yeah, it's objective-based, I think, is really what they're trying to
objective-based. That's right.
Yes. Yeah. So it came out, that actually kind of existed from some of the other standards, but basically the best way to explain it is a quick example. So in PA-DSS, like the DSS, to do a password, the requirement was 7 characters and alphanumerics, which meant literally the word password with a capital P qualified.
Would be fine, which is ridiculous. Right.
Which is a terrible baseline, but it's a baseline, right? So that's a requirement. So the new requirement is something like 12 characters, right, and alphanumerics. So longer, that helps a little, right? But it's still, that is a specific bare minimum. Instead, an objective would be generate passwords that meet certain security standards, or better is authentication, right? So make sure that you use secure authentication practices. So that's the objective. The hard part about that is then the definition of that objective is not specific to, 7 characters and alphanumerics. So then you have to have a mature risk program. And this actually applies a lot more to the DSS than it does even to the SSF, but it's the same idea, right? So the idea is you're meeting the objective, but then you have to define that objective and justify it. And so only the more mature organizations are really able to do both of those things well.
And you're justifying it to the QSA that's doing the assessment?
Yeah, I mean, you're meeting the objective, right? So if you've got an environment where, you don't need to have 12 characters and alpha, most of them need more than that, right? But there's a lot of nuances to that. Ultimately, multi-factor authentication is what you're going to want, right? Right. And ultimately, in my opinion, you would want it to not have passwords. You'd want to use two factors and not include the password factor, because passwords are just inherently not a secure method, period, right? So get rid of them.
On that kind of thinking, take a step forward. Here we are, we're going from PA-DSS with all the acronyms to SSF, okay? So if I'm a company that, obviously is delivering payment applications and they were validated under PA-DSS, I guess I assume your recommendation is for them to get moving towards the SSF. One, what do you recommend there? But two, is there going to be kind of a grandfather period for them?
No, I mean, if they want to release new software, it has to be done under the SSF. So yes, if they haven't been looking at it, you know, obviously, like you said, the strong recommendation is to get with a SSF assessor. So, get at least start with advisory. You know, we do advisory in that space, right? I'm kind of excited to, it's kind of what I did previously in another career is built the PADSS. So I get to do that all over again. But some of my recommendations are, I actually am a little bit hesitant to recommend PADSS companies generically, simply because they're going to have that same mindset. It takes a lot to switch and stop thinking the old way and think the new way. Not that it can't be done. I'm sure it's entirely possible, but kind of a fresh approach to how do you approach objective-based controls and how do you approach this new way of thinking that is different from what PADSS was is something worth thinking about for sure.
So what about from the customer perspective? You know, what does an existing compliant customer need to do now or in the near future?
Well, if by customer mean like a merchant or somebody who's leveraging a PADSS application, mm-hmm. They just need to see that the software that they're using is going to be validated under the SSF standard. So they don't have to worry about the assessment process, right? The assessment process is for those who sell the application and those who develop the application. Those are the two halves of SSF. For somebody that goes through the network standard that gets a PCI DSS assessment, they want to make sure that their application vendor, whoever that is going to have an SSF listing if they don't already. So they need to look at, you know, hey, when do we need to replace our software? A lot of times that's tied into their hardware as well. You know, you want to do that kind of stuff all at once. And then, you know, is it using the latest stuff that's going to be under the new software security framework?
So I guess a final question, Dan, is this set of changes that are being made by PCI going to adequately address today's threat landscape against payment systems?
Well, it's kind of like saying, is anything ever perfectly secure, right? I mean, can it? I think it does. I think it does a better job of doing it than PADSS did. I think it has the ability to be more flexible. PCI DSS certainly does with 4.0. The flexibility there is amazing. It's an entirely different topic, but that's a good thing. Can it be misused? Absolutely, right? Can you still deploy it in a way that screws up your security? Absolutely, right? I think it provides more availability and better options. Does it guarantee it? Never going to say that as a security professional, right?
Not surprised. So Dan, thank you very much for coming on and sharing, you know, what we're seeing, what you're seeing out there. You've been doing this for a long time, right? You've got great experience. You're an SME in this space. And to hear this evolution is obviously very positive. And again, I think it's good. I think people need to, as you said, understand that it's here now and it's time for them to get moving. So people like you can obviously assist them with that.
And I think we'll add a list of acronyms in the show notes just to help people out to navigate through this episode. But that, you know, again, it's so natural for you, Dan, to roll off your tongue. Rob and I are not as initiated in the payments security space.
That's right.
So even I was struggling with all these different acronyms.
Yep. After a certain point, you can't get rid of it, even if you want to. So yeah, thanks for having me on board. It's been great to talk about this, and yeah, happy to help however I can. Excited to kind of be back in this space.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Appreciate it, Dan.
Thanks for listening to the Reimagining Cyber Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to have us cover a specific topic of interest, feel free to reach out to us, and you can find out how in the show notes.
Hello, listeners. Please don't leave us just yet. Producer Ben here. And as per normal, here's a heads up regarding the other episodes we have in the Reimagining Cyber Library. For example, a year ago in May 2022, we heard from Jim Reavis, co-founder and CEO of the Cloud Security Alliance. Jim is a noted leader within the cloud computing community, and he shed light on how to solve cloud security complexities.
Multi-cloud, I think, is just the reality that people find is having competency. And the bigger you are, the more you need to use different types of cloud-delivered solutions.
That was from episode 34, called Solving the Cloud Security Puzzle. Finally, do take a moment to click on follow or subscribe so you get the latest episode of Reimagining Cyber every Wednesday. Thanks for listening and goodbye.